And welcome to Bathrob Spears Broadsides, the February 27th, 2000 edition. We're going to be continuing to follow up the Dolphin Lee debate. Citizens Police Review Board and the City Council meet secretly tomorrow at the City Manager's Office at 4 o'clock. Do you want to be there? With reports on the Diallo shooting and local hate crimes against the homeless. Stay tuned. Again, welcome to Bathrob Spears Broadside. Sorry about that. We have a little mic static. I'm your host, Bathrob Spear, Robert Norris. Why the bathrobe? Well, city has a sleeping ban, and many cities throughout California have a law against homeless people sleeping outside, not because they think it's unhealthful to sleep or somehow unnecessary to sleep, but because not in our backyard. It's a kind of a modern-day Okie law that penalizes people the way the black codes penalized the blacks in the South after the Civil War, the Second American Revolution in the 1860s. It's a form of discrimination against a whole class of people, the way women were discriminated against and are discriminated against, the way people of color, different color, black, Hispanic, Asian, you name it. It's a form of discrimination and bigotry. It's a hate crime institutionalized in Santa Cruz and other cities, which actually some folks have been trying to fight at the state level with protests at Sacramento, and we may get into that today, depending on if we have time, and also depending on the way the show goes in terms of phone calls. This is a interactive civil rights show. We're concerned about hearing about your experience with discrimination on the streets, so if you've had a problem with a merchant, if you've had a problem with a police officer, if you had a problem with an employer, and you feel discrimination because of your economic class or perhaps racial, your skin color or your gender or the fact that you're disabled, please give us a call. I particularly like to focus on poor people and homeless people, but hey, I take any particular concerns you want to be courageous enough to bring up on the air. And don't hesitate to give a call at 427-3772. That's the call-in number for Bathrob Spears Broadsides. I'm your host, Bathrob Spear, as I said. And hey, you can feel free to call. I won't cut you off. You can speak freely and hopefully speak to a number of other people who don't know what you want to tell them about, because that's what it's all about here on Free Radio, sharing information that otherwise we would be keeping to ourselves, sharing the pain that we'd otherwise be feeling alone, realizing that it's not just us, it's not just our fault, that it's a symptom of a broader situation that everyone shares. And here comes a call right now. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hi, I'm a Beach Flats resident, and I'd like to discuss this, an issue of discrimination by neighborhood, that my neighborhood and the residents of my neighborhood are discriminated against by the police department and the city as a whole, and just by the media and this terrible reputation that we have, as if everybody that lives in my neighborhood is some kind of drug dealer or prostitute or something, and it's just not true. And that young people especially that are raised in Beach Flats are discriminated against in that if they're Hispanic, they're assumed to be drug dealers, and the police feel it's perfectly okay to just go up without any other, you know, reason to you know, ask them what they're doing, and if they're white, it's assumed they're drug buyers, and the police feel perfectly at ease of just going up and, you know, harassing them or you know, asking them what they're on. And
you know what? Tell me, caller. I of course know your voice. You're a longtime resident and activist in the Beach Flats. It's may I say your name on the air?
No.
Okay. Then I will keep it in confidence. I want to ask you, if this has happened recently, have you seen any instances of this kind of misconduct in the last couple of weeks?
No, but I would like to report that I have been asked what I am on, and I'm, 50-something, middle of the road-looking person, and I'm not on anything. You know, it's just something that rankles, and that other people assume that, you know, because a drug dealer might give you an address in Beach Flats where he's from, that's actually where he does live. You know, that's often an error, and so we just kind of feel like overwhelmed by the inability to live a normal life.
How long ago was the last instance of this kind of misconduct? I heard it from Maria Gutierrez, who runs the Dolphin apartment complex, about the failure of the city to fix potholes, put up a stop crosswalk or a stop sign, and to deal with flooded water meters. But
a simple solution to...
Right, let me just finish this, Jane. That's okay. Neglect. I was just wondering, in terms of what you're saying, what instances of abuse have you heard about in the last couple months, if any? I mean, there's no right answer to that. You might say none, but you're talking about your long experience.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering if you hadn't heard anything recent, you know.
Well, there's the proposal of the city council to move folks out of the Dolphin Lee site, and that's a form of discrimination that they wouldn't be attempting to do if it was elsewhere, and it's kind of this whole attitude of they couldn't possibly ask the boardwalk if they wanted to sell the vacant lot next to it or the other owners of the vacant lots and put up new housing because, you know, the assumption that Mr. Big can't possibly be engaged in helping the community retain the residential neighborhood. It must be broken or destroyed. The way the children of Beach Flats, that's one way that Beach Flats are not considered fully human. Mm-hmm. And way is the way that children of Beach Flats have to be bused to three different schools, even though it's a tiny little neighborhood. And all the assumptions behind all this is that there would otherwise be gang activity if we do not separate them. There would be, you know, terrible crime if the neighborhood isn't broken apart. And the crime that the BOTEC study and what has been shown to me that most of the drug dealers drive in or walk in and stand at the tourist traffic route and deal drugs to the tourists, and then they go home at night. And it's not something that's happening on private property, and it's kind of just blamed on the neighborhood instead of the specific people who are doing it. And, you know, it's just kind of, you know, convenient for the developer who is the boardwalk who wants to expand, of course, ever-expanding need for parking, etc.
We're going to be talking a lot about this. Well, actually, I'm going to play some more of a meeting that happened with the residents of the Dolphin and Lee apartment building, some of them, at the community trailer about a week and a half ago. I guess it was a week and a day ago on Saturday, by Mayor Sugar and Vice Mayor Fitzmaurice were kind of hosting this session, and with them was consultant from Los Angeles, hired by the redevelopment agency, a guy named Bayati, Michael Bayati, as well as Elizabeth Vogel of Mercy Housing, which is planning to build $12 million so-called affordable housing project on the ruins of Dolphin Lee and the Pink Palace, the little property across the street from Dolphin Lee in the Beach Flats, which is owned by the Seaside Company. We've talked about this a lot.
if I could comment on that once more,
mm-hmm.
What they call the Pig Palace is in fact the Rex Apartments, and is a historic resource in good condition, and the boardwalk bought it and evicted the good nice residents, nice folks, for no reason whatsoever.
When did
recently, mm-hmm. since Fitzmaurice started having these meetings, there were still people coming to him saying, "Help me, I'm getting evicted from the boardwalk," about the Dolphin. I mean, this was just like a month or two ago. He's still getting people out. I mean, this was obviously collusion. For this.
And of course, the reason for that collusion would be because if this project goes through, then tenants that are currently in place when the project goes through must be provided with some relocation money, right?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And if the boardwalk, throws in its empty property, then the city's likely to let him have all the empty land from that point down towards the boardwalk, which is residential zone land and recently had houses on it, where in fact houses should be rebuilt and housing should be re-put. And instead of throwing people out, you just put houses on the vacant land and put people in there, and you got additional houses instead of throwing people out of their homes and stirring up their lives and their kids' lives and all this.
Yeah, one major criticism of the Dolphin Lee that you made and others has been that the complex will not only take up affordable housing money for the next 5 years, but it will be destroying a property that currently, while not something perhaps you or I might want to live in immediately, although it depends on the apartment.
Yeah.
I've seen a couple of different apartments there. At least I've just been to the Dolphin, not on the Lee. It's very crowded. There's no question about it. Very crowded, and problems. A whole list of problems with plumbing and other appliance problems, which were presented by 12 tenants that I saw itemized in a long statement.
Well, apparently one of those was in El Salvador during the whole thing. But I'm not going to get into the specifics
but I would like
to make one general comment to that. Mm-hmm. That if this replacement housing, this new housing project that's done with taxpayers' money, if there's a dollar of federal money, it can have no illegal aliens in it. And if it has a dollar of state money, it can't have any illegal aliens.
There is a dispute on that. There is a dispute. Now, again, you may be right, but the latest so-called authoritative statement by Elizabeth Vogel of the Mercy Housing, and I should present this to you,
mm-hmm.
is that home and CDBG funding are not subject to restrictions on illegal immigrants. Other federal funding is, but not that funding. So her claim is that illegal aliens are not going to be, for that reason, excluded. But it was pointed out to me by activist Fred Geiger yesterday on the phone that if you are not even an illegal alien, let's suppose you're a legal person, but you don't have, say, working papers, or you have limited papers, you may have to work under the table in terms of your income,
yes.
And that may exclude you because of income requirements. So that's another problem.
Well, I'd just like to make the point that Mercy Housing is one of the litigants in a lawsuit to make some of these funding sources accept illegal aliens, but they are not doing it now. And they're just working on state funding sources, not federal funding sources, and they're not being forthright about that because there's been no answer to their lawsuit. It's still in court, and it's likely to still be in court when all this comes down.
Interesting.
And so they of course know this. They know what the situation is right this moment.
In fact, at that trailer meeting, Elizabeth Vogel specifically gave the impression that in this lawsuit, they were right now allowing, they were risking their federal funding by refusing to examine the documentation of people's legality or illegality in terms of their immigration status. Are you saying that they are, in fact, doing that and they're not being honest about it to us?
No, I'm saying that they know that these people are being asked to take a leap of faith that is not, that they, at this moment, they would not, the adults, would not be allowed back in the new housing. And they are not told that in a straightforward way for them to make their own plans for their family.
I'm talking about specifically about the illegal alien issue. She
yes.
claims that being an illegal alien is A, not a bar because of CDBG and home funding under the law, and B, in the cases where there is a problem, Mercy Housing is refusing to abide by that federal no illegal aliens sign.
And then you have to look at it from the other side.
Okay, well,
Is the federal government going to allow this? Wait a minute, Jane.
Let's just ask ourselves.
What about their security?
Wait a minute. Hold it. I'm just trying to determine this particular issue.
Do you dispute
what she says? Are you saying that she's not telling the truth about...
She's not being straightforward...
That particular issue.
On that issue. She's not saying what the status is right this moment. What the legal status is right this moment for funding that's expected to be coming in and giving these people the sense of false security.
As of now, what she said to me was, as of now, CDBG and home funding, which is federal funding that will be going into this $12 million project, if it proceeds along the juggernaut railroad path it's going now, does not exclude illegal aliens, one. And two, they are engaged, Mercy is engaged in a lawsuit with the federal government. But Mercy's position right now is not to exclude illegal aliens, regardless of the federal position. Wait a minute, Jane. Are you claiming that either of those two things are not the case?
I am claiming that they should not be going against the law. They shouldn't be going against the law. If there's an African-American person whose ancestors were slaves and is working a job and living in a car with a kid, now why wouldn't they have priority? You know, to me, this is my philosophy. If people are law-abiding otherwise, beside the point that they're in the country illegally, nice folks, good neighbors, have found their own private way of being here.
We all agree with that. Okay, there's no dispute here.
That's one thing. For taxpayers to pay for endless number of people from someplace else, and yet they're not taking care of their own homeless. Now you're stepping on a lot of people's toes. Why should they do that? Is that logical for the government to...
I'm not sure I understand how this relates to Dolphin Lee. Can you tie that in? I'm not clear as to what your point is.
My point is that it wouldn't be right if they were to go against the law in order to give all the money that the homeless need to help people that are not U.S. citizens and is illegal for them to help when they are perfectly
Are you saying that if people in the Dolphin Lee are illegally there, that the federal government should not help them move to other housing? Is that what you're suggesting?
I am suggesting that they are not being spoken to in an honest and straightforward way that gives them a sense of security for themselves and their children to make plans that they need to make.
Well, I think we're actually going to hear that in this upcoming tape, and I'm glad you've introduced that. Perhaps we should move into that tape and hear the people themselves.
Okay.
Thanks, Jane.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
And there's a lot of controversy around that project, and the reason I spend so much time on it is because it is the big ticket item for the next 5 years, and it is still in the process of being debated. I recently went to City Council, as those of you who were listening on Thursday, to this show, which is also played from 6 to 8 in the evening. That is to say, we have a second edition of this show on Thursday evening. Heard that I was going to City Council to, and a number of us actually, were raising issues about, well, one, are the tenants going to be able to get back into the housing, and two, are they going to be able to pay for affordable housing while they're out, and three, why is this project being chosen over other projects? And of course, the council was entirely silent on any response to that. No assurances, no responses to any of the arguments we raised, which were detailed arguments which I presented on this show before, ranging from the fact that, again, there are questions about the illegal immigrant status that I pointed out to you, not so much, I don't know if I agree with the caller that it bars people per se right now, given the particular kind of funding. I haven't read the law, and I don't... Vogel says it doesn't bar CDBG and home funding. She's the head of the project. She might not be telling the truth, but for her to lie specifically about that point would tend to discredit her, and I think we should look into that. But I think more important than that, there are other considerations which make the project very doubtful, and I think we should emphasize those. And also, we should emphasize what the tenants want in this situation. And it's a complicated issue because the tenants don't like, some of them anyway, the housing they're living in now. And I know this is a sore point with some folks, and they disagree with this. But I think some of the tenants have, again, we're talking 11 tenants, 12 tenants, perhaps one of them was in El Salvador, as the caller said. I haven't talked to these tenants. I've just gotten a list, and I've talked to union people who have or I should say activists who've talked to them and been concerned for years about what they consider cruddy conditions in the beach flats. Frankly, we're talking about the Western Service Workers Union, and I'm not repeating any official positions they have, but they have, in their own newsletters, talked about, you know, their concerns about the housing situation there. And I guess there is a faction that believes if folks can use the money from federal relocation money to move out of this into better housing, they should do so. Now, that's one point of view. That's not the point of view that I've had so far, which is what you want is really affordable housing and more of it for the people there. What are the point of view of the people involved? Well, we're going to turn to that right now. This is, again, a continuation of a recording that I made about 8 days ago at the community trailer, which is was a meeting where tenants from the Dolphin and Lee complex, which is, again, on the city council's demolition list, they're going to demolish it and supposedly put up affordable housing that the tenants will be able to move to. And the questions, again, are thick and fast because they had no legal papers, no assurances, no documentation to present that would reassure the tenants, just verbal assurances. And the voice you're going to hear is that of Michael Biotti, the city-funded relocation consultant from Los Angeles, who is answering questions and translating. And there were some questions, at least by one member of the audience, about the accuracy of his translation. But because our audience is English-speaking mostly, this is the English parts of that conversation of translation. And I invite anyone who was there to call in and correct any misimpressions you think have been made, because we don't have the Spanish here as well. The Spanish was videotaped by video journalist Becky Johnson, and if anybody's interested in getting access to that, you can give a call to HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, the organization that is concerned about this issue, since it's potentially a very significant increase in homelessness in Santa Cruz, Hispanic homelessness. So let's hear some of this now. This is, again, a week ago. The issue was a city council, what I call a hoax, to set up a tenant relocation committee that has no power and then make a big show of this to involve the tenants, let them talk to redevelopment people in order to, so they can be counted, their income can be ascertained, and the city can put together some kind of a plan to grab for funding by spring, whether the tenants want it or not, because the tenants have no say on this, and the city council is going full steam ahead. Let's hear some more of this.
They need repair.
We'll hear some more of this right after this.
Okay, a song called "Cruel Years." He held a little ways with. The air was filled with a long sigh. The day was filled with a smell of dying. And mothers bore their lost sons crying. These are the cruel years, years of dying. 4 years the sky was dark above. Bluebirds of hate and not of love. How we long to see the dove. These are the cruel years, years of dying. How many prayers of peace were spoken. Tired eyes searched for tokens. How many kings died till peace was chosen. These are the cruel years, years of dying. Then came the years of rebuilding. New lessons learned to teach the children, so they can go and die willing. These are the cruel years, years of dying. And now I ask you all together, another war can we weather? Shall we live or die together? These are the cruel years, years of dying.
Repair repairs, they don't get the repairs. Why? Why does the rent keep going up every year? Why are we paying more money every time we have a baby?
This
we already
Michael
can't...
Baiotti, translating tenants' criticisms.
You pay right on the first, you have to pay a $25 fee or fine.
I do too, and I don't live in this neighborhood. Okay.
Thank you. Nice to see you.
Okay. I moved out 2 months, 3 months ago.
Okay.
Let's answer some.
No, you.
If this is the first process, you know, the first step in getting towards an accord, in just exploring the possibility of having a new place to live,
this
a safe place to live.
With Michael Bayard
now, if we
speaking.
Don't get together, Familia Center can support you in many ways, in either a meeting place or facilitation, whatever that is. But if you want guarantees, if you want certain requirements, this is the time to begin to think about it, to come together, let the city know. I've known Tim Fitzmaurice since we went to university together. I've always thought he was a good guy. I think he's an honest man. But this is only the beginning. It doesn't mean that, you know, you're going to be moving out tomorrow.
And I interrupt this tape to point out that Tim Fitzmaurice and Keith Sugar, I think Mayor Sugar had left by this time, and Vice Mayor Fitzmaurice was chairing the meeting. This woman is claiming this is an early stage of analysis. In fact, this is after the project has been determined by the City Council. It's not like they're investigating to see if people want to move and do they want the project. No, they've decided they're going to have the project, whether they like it or not. They're not telling them that. That is one of the key elements that's missing from the so-called tenant involvement, tenant relocation committee hoax, as I call it. Not only is the tenant committee powerless, but the whole process is simply a cover-up job to enable them to proceed with their project with the apparent consent of the tenants. At least that was the impression I came away with. Even though Tim Fitzmaurice did say at the end of the meeting that he kind of grudgingly said that if after he talked to everybody involved and in a situation where they didn't feel coerced, and they said they still didn't want the project, that he would not support it. But, of course, since he's on the minority, Crone, Fitzmaurice, and Sugar are a minority on the council, and Byers is pushing this, that won't make any difference many months down the line. What will make a difference is if he takes a stand now that there will be no project unless the tenants support it and says so loudly and publicly. That's something he's not doing. And I think that's very significant. Continuing with this week ago discussion at the community trailer on whether to spend $12 million, actually no, on how to get the tenants involved in a $12 million project that they had no say in and were not consulted about. And they're simply essentially being herded into, is the way it looks to me.
Apartment house is going to be constructed next week. I mean, we're talking about a year's length of time. Que va a pasar un año si eso es que llegan a un acuerdo. It's only if you get to an agreement. If there's no agreement, there won't be a project. Si no hay acuerdo, no hay proyecto.
And that, of course, is a question. Will there be a project? Is there already a project if there's not an agreement? How many people will have to agree? It's not clear. And I suspect, I call that a deceptive statement by the developer, or I should say by the relocation consultant. Perhaps not. Perhaps she is speaking sincerely, but it gives a misimpression. There is no process for turning this project back, as far as I know.
The lady's question is, if we're going to move, where are we going?
Right.
Nosotros, and the answer is, nosotros go further, I better translate. Where did I start? Para traducir, ¿dónde empecé? how are we going to move?
Right.
It is very difficult. We know that. We've moved about 25,000 people throughout the history of Myers & Associates, and we know it's difficult. Normally, we would estimate we would need about 3 months to move 50 families, which is approximately how many families are currently living in the Dolphin and the Lee. We have already informed the city that we're sure we're going to need 6 months, double time, in order to do it. We're going to be working together. We have a mobile home, RV, that serves as our mobile office. We're going to park it inside the gates, inside the parking lot of the Dolphin, and be living there with you, helping you every day to move, to do things. We want you to look for apartments also. If you find an apartment that you want to move to, tell us where it is. We'll go with you. We want to see it. We want to make sure that it's going to accommodate your family. We will also be providing you with referrals. We know it's going to be difficult. Sabemos que será difícil, pero una cosa muy importante. Nunca en la historia. We have never in the history of Myers & Associates of 25 years have we ever failed to relocate one single person, one single family, one old person, one baby. We have never failed. We have always relocated every single person that has been given to us as a relocation case. Will it be difficult? Very possibly. Will it be impossible? No.
Answer the questions, please.
Of course, what's not said here is where they relocate people, into what kind of housing, into motels, what, for how long, and do the people who get relocated out get back in? Michael Biotti did not answer that question, or did not refer to it.
The gentleman in the back.
Oh, Pancho. Pancho, ¿dónde estás? Okay, está comiendo. If it's so important that everybody live in good condition, why not fight with Canfield for that property?
Why
not?
Fighting with him about it?
Why don't go over there and get it?
I will say it again.
That's Morris.
Those complexes are not good places for families to live. I will fight with Canfield. I'm fighting.
Complexes that Fitzmaurice is talking about are the Dolphin and Lee apartment buildings and the Rex Corridor Pink Palace apartments right across the street. We're talking about three buildings on LeBrant Street, about half a block from the boardwalk, for those of you who know what Santa Cruz looks like.
About the land next to the river, and I will fight with Canfield and Seaside Company about any possibility for improving housing in this area, up to and including looking at ways to build more housing in this area. But it's my opinion that the Dolphin property and the Lee property is not the right place for families to live. That's my opinion, and I was elected by a lot of people in this community to have an opinion on this.
Okay, let me pay $5,000 on every apartment to fix them, but you can't make them bigger, you can't add bedrooms. Where are they going to put them in order to accommodate the families?
I want to make sure you...
Jorge, por favor.
Okay,
that's why we need to talk privately with people where they don't feel pressure.
Hay un poquito de apoyo por eso, gracias. Okay,
translate.
What this gentleman said, he is a tenant, tú vives en el Lee, right? He's a tenant in the Lee apartments, and what his opinion is, you have all heard our opinions and the city's opinions, but we haven't yet heard the residents' opinions. He wants us, what his proposal is, let's form the committee, but the Relocation Advisory Committee, but the committee should not include, with all due respect, the owner of the Lee or any of the family members or the managers, but rather just the residents of the apartments.
Yo tengo
and is that okay?
Eso,
that is the city's idea. Eso también es la idea de la ciudad. Que los residentes formen el comité.
Please volunteer.
Por favor, que ustedes se den por voluntarios. ¿Quién está interesado en ser parte de este comité? Entonces tú. All the people who are talking here should be residents that are talking. He said, for instance, this gentleman sitting here is not a resident. He doesn't know how I live. He shouldn't be speaking for me.
Yeah.
Continuing. Is that it's not logical to even to suggest that the city fight with Canfield and the Seaside Company, that the land will be too expensive and that you'll probably end up in court fighting about it for a long time before it ever gets resolved.
That's true.
Es verdad.
And this is the reason that Tim Fitzmaurice gives for not trying to get, let's say, vacant parking lots from the Seaside Company and build on them, rather than destroy the Dolphin Lee and the Rex Court area and build on it. The claim is that the Seaside Company will fight it, and there will be a long court battle, and it will delay affordable housing and hurt those people who are now in worse housing conditions than they should be. The claim here, of course, is that they'll have to eminent domain Canfield, but it's also true that Lee and and I guess McElhaney, the owners of the Dolphin and the Lee projects or buildings, are at the moment also unwilling sellers. Although it is true that I've also heard that the Lee property was on the market until like September or November of last year, and then was taken off the market. So there's some controversy about that. I don't know about the Dolphin project, and I don't know about Rex Court, whether it's on the market. I have never heard, and I've asked for Fitzmaurice several weeks ago to provide me with some documentation of how it would be more difficult to get Canfield to sell the property, or how it would be more difficult to get a vote in City Council, which requires 5 votes to what's called eminent domain, or force the buyer, the unwilling seller, to sell, because it's a part of a city project that takes priority. But that information has not come from Tim Fitzmaurice. And if this councilman Fitzmaurice is listening to the show and has got that information or wishes to comment on anything that's going on here, please call in. You're listening to Bathrobe Spears Broadsides on Free Radio Santa Cruz at 96.3. And the phone number to call is 427-3772. If you're shy about going on the air, you can also call off-air at 423-4833, and your input will be accepted. And if you have any questions, you can ask them there. Let's continue listening to this community trailer meeting, where the consultants are essentially involving the tenants in a project that they had no say in creating and no alternatives to.
This gentleman's suggestion is that if the city council is going to do this, then let's have a contract, a document signed, notarized by the city, with each one of the residents promising to do certain things.
Promising the obligations that the city said they would do for relocation.
Right.
Payments and
also what he was saying is that many of there's kind of mumbling in the room around here. Let's just all get up, he said, and say yes or no. I support it or I don't support it, and just be very clear about
support
it.
What?
So, we can't say that right now.
Okay, I'm translating. Please don't shoot the messenger.
The gentleman.
Oh, sí, señor. He said that everything that you're saying sounds very nice. All of us would love to have a new apartment. Okay, what he's saying is that you're asking for a lot of personal private information, how much all of our names and, you know, who we are and our income, and how do we know that this information won't be used against us, basically, later, that that if this is all going to work as you say it is, this is wonderful, we'll all support it, but we need assurances that it's going to work this way. Lo que yo oigo, his biggest concern is, show us, don't tell us, prove it.
Yes.
So what I was just saying is that what the committee needs to do is to say, what are the types of proof that you want? Tell us what the proof is, and if it's possible to give it, the city will give it.
Okay.
What he's saying is that he's not sure. But the first thing he said basically was, again, give us proof. The benefits we're going to receive, show us. The other thing was that he's saying that if you need to accommodate all of us that are living there, we're overcrowded now, you need to build many apartments with many more bedrooms. I don't think, he says, that he doesn't think there's enough land there. You're going to need the Canfield land anyway. Now, can you tell us how big and how tall and how many floors?
Well, one thing I don't know if it was made clear earlier is that one of the Canfield properties is being included. The property across the street from you, those pink ones, that's going to be part of it too. And then we're talking about a combination of 2 and 3 stories. 50% of the apartments, at least, will be 3 and 4 bedroom apartments.
It's going to be how many stories?
A combination of 2 and 3 stories.
Va a ser out of the tres.
50% will be 3 and 4 bedrooms.
But we've already done some preliminary work to see if that will fit, and we think that it will.
Ya han hecho. Okay, he said when we're asking what are the guarantees, why do we start vacillating on the answers? No, eso no es lo que está ocurriendo. Queremos saber.
¿Está el contrato, entonces?
Muy bien. Para mí no es nada. Yo firmo un contrato. La ciudad está diciendo.
Vamos a
leerla. La ciudad está diciendo. Que si es garantías ustedes quieren.
Translate.
The translation is that this that If it's guarantees you want, guarantees you'll get. The city has already said that we'll do this all in writing. We can't do it right now. We don't have computers to type it up and just do it. And also there's the system, that there's the process that has to be gone through. And also that that we're just beginning now. As the lady over here said, this is the first step. Everybody, we're just starting this. No one's moving tomorrow. No buildings are coming down tomorrow. We're talking about a year and a half, the summer of 2001, before this happens. Por favor, que tengan paciencia con nosotros también. Ustedes no muevan mañana. Nadie tumba nada mañana. Así que tenemos un año y medio para formar el proceso. No one's moving tomorrow. No buildings are coming down tomorrow. We have a year and a half to work through this process and to make it happen. Why are you particularly interested in this area if there are many other areas that have the same types of housing conditions?
We are working on low cost housing
again, Council Member
near
Vince
the river,
Vice Mayor,
trying to save it.
Sure,
working on senior housing all over town. I've said it twice. I'll say it three times. I think these two complexes deserve to be rebuilt.
Okay.
Spring too,
and
but
last Saturday.
And last Saturday too, but 20 years ago was the first time I walked into an apartment at the Dolphin. And I was there last week, and I was there 3 months ago knocking on all the doors.
Dice
so I know what they look like.
Dice que él sabe un poquito también personalmente
and
de
last
las
spring,
condiciones.
So.
The question is, some of the property belongs to Seaside. Art, but otra vez, por favor, also belongs to Seaside. Entonces, is Seaside going to let you build apartments there? On the Lee and Dolphin properties. Aren't they going to fight with you?
I will fight back.
They
fight me. No.
A moment.
Let me speak. Let me finish. They're not going to... Seaside Company, are any of them here right now? They evicted the people in the Pink Palace. They are tough. And last week they called me and told me that I was mean to them in a public meeting 2 weeks ago because I called them rude. But I am rude about bad living conditions. And I will fight with the Seaside. I think I can work out something. This is the right place to preserve this community. To move everyone here to some other neighborhood would, in my view, in my opinion, be a mistake. Now I want to say something. We've been here for two hours, and we want to be here again and talk again. But I don't want these kids to have to sit here for another hour. I want you to know that we need to have conversations with a lot of the people who haven't spoken. And that's. I want to hear from you. I really want to hear from you. So we'll have another public meeting. I don't know what the right timing would be.
Así que vamos a hacer otra junta pública como esta, pero todavía no sabemos. También dijo.
And then let's move the committee.
También dijo que necesitamos que ustedes hablen con nosotros.
Member has a question. Then sign up for the advisory committee.
Okay, I'd like to finish now. Para empezar,
the Lee apartments. The Lee family has hired an attorney. You don't have to pay for that. The Lee family is going to represent themselves and you with their attorney. They're doing everything through their attorney, and the attorney already has proposed contracts. Is that because you said contracts?
Rental agreements that say how many people live in them.
The attorney already has the rental agreement information given by the Lee family to the attorney, saying how many people are already living there. Let me translate that. What she said is that when the attorney has all of your permission to give this information to us, is that correct? That then he will give it to us. But it seems to her right now that things are a little disorganized. The gentleman would like me to translate everything.
Okay.
And what that's about is that these consultants went door to door through the first set of apartments, the Dolphin apartments, asking questions and personal stuff about how many were people there, what the income was, and so forth. And the Lee owners and some of the tenants, when they heard this, apparently decided they wanted to only have those consultants come to the apartments where they were invited, not just knock on every door. And so they said that they would hire an attorney to stop that from happening. Again, this is some are concerned that the city is pushing a project and ramming it down the throat of the tenants, and the tenants' rights are being disrespected here. Others say that the tenants are living in crappy conditions and being exploited by the landlords, and anything they can get out of this project would be a good idea. There's a difference of opinion in some groups, and a third group says that this is a fine city project to set up affordable housing, which will produce a much better situation down the road than the current situation. We should all be happy for it. So there are at least three different positions on this whole issue. It was also pointed out to me by a caller while this tape has been playing that when tenants ask questions of the relocation person, the person who provided the money for people to go away for several years while this project was being built and live in temporary housing, he couldn't answer any questions about their availability of getting into the housing, availability of getting into the project when it's finished. That's a Mercy Housing project. When Mercy was asked about relocation, they couldn't really answer any questions. So it looks like people are being sent to different agencies with these questions, and the answers are not clear. The answers are not clear as to whether there will be even affordable housing for people to find while they're waiting the situation out, how much money they're going to get, how long this will last for, what the bars will be to any kind of relocation funding based on, again, problems of, illegal immigrant status. Has been raised, and it's been the relocation people claim without qualification that has no relation to what they do. They don't care what your paper or documentation is. It's not relevant. People claim that it's not relevant to getting back in. I think it's important for people who have questions about this to see the legal documentation on this issue. And I go through it in detail because there are some of us who feel it is not a dead issue, that for Santa Cruz, homelessness is a vital question. Not just are we against the sleeping ban and laws that criminalize people for finding their own shelter, but we believe there should be housing for people who need it, and there should be decent rents, and these are all linked questions. So that's why I'm spending so much time on this issue for those of you who are wondering why are we going through this again. And that's the truth.
We don't want anything hidden in any language. We want full disclosure.
Julie said that her now you got me all
attorney
a little
warned us.
That her attorney warned the Lees that what was it again?
That the tenants would try
to turn you against the owners of the property, and in her opinion, that's what's happening now.
I said I believe that the proof has been shown today.
Okay. It happened in 3 months, if I decided to evict all of you, I could do it. To give you the assistance that we're talking about. Her attorney has said that it's very possible that the city will offer them, the Lee family, enough, a lump sum settlement to pay them off and evict all the tenants. Wait. Now let's get a response. Si ella, lo que ella dijo, que si la familia Lee les echa. Tenants know how to get in touch with our attorney. Reed is his name, right? Julie? Reed?
Reed
Shantz. Or you can communicate through our attorney. Through me, she says, through the Lee family.
Let's answer the rest of the questions. I would like to end this meeting on time as predicted. You come and talk to us, get on the committee, talk to Martin.
And note there was no response by Fitzmaurice to Julie Gomez, the owner, Mr. Lee's daughter's question and claim that the city is their fear is that the city is going to ask them to evict everybody and give them a lump sum, give that to the Lee, offer them money to the owners to evict all the tenants before the property changes hands and before relocation money is required. And again, these are all technical questions, but they bear on the good faith of the city and the fact that there's been no good public process around this project and no consideration of alternatives. And so all these questions become very important. Fitzmaurice had no answer for that, as he's had no answer for many of the other questions raised either at this forum or at the city council 2 days later when they voted to establish this hoaxy little tenant relocation committee, which has no power, but which puts the tenants in a position of essentially covering for the city's actions.
Talk to Miguel. Tell us your concerns. And let's answer the rest of the questions, and I'd like kids to be able to go home. I'd like to go home.
Y quiero, dijo él, at the next meeting, is it possible that we have some type of assurances, some type of contract?
Yes. That's why we want a committee.
Sí, por eso queremos un comité.
So at the next meeting of the tenants, we hear Vice Mayor Fitzmaurice saying there will be a contract available for people to look at in black and white instead of all these kind of glowing assurances and let's get on with it and end the meeting type statements from Vice Mayor Fitzmaurice.
All right, and then we will bring them to the people who live here.
El comité, va a informar, finalized what the needs
assurance,
are.
The assurances.
The assurances, what they want, the proof they want. Then they will bring the proof to us. You will either provide the proof or that these things are going to happen or the won't go forward with the project.
Right.
He has a question.
Did that gentleman who hasn't spoken?
Señor,
again, you hear Fitzmaurice saying that if there aren't reassurances that there, in essence, that there'll be relocation and that everyone will get back in or goes out, I mean, I'm assuming that's what he's talking about, the project won't go forward. The problem is that Fitzmaurice does not have the power to stop the project once he has been giving it a blank check for so long. That's my concern. It's not clear. He's not articulating how they can stop the project once, if the tenants want to turn it around.
What the gentleman says is that when the committee is formed, let's let the committee talk. Que el comité hable con los residentes. Okay, so that the two people in charge of every apartment talk to the committee and talk to the relocation consultants to say privately and personally what the different problems are. Entonces, señor.
You mean the manager?
Entonces, señor. What he's saying is that. In a public meeting like this, many of us are afraid to speak out loud. Many of us don't want to because we don't want our private things to be known. And I want to respond to that also. Señor, por eso, vamos oportunidad, Mecky and I, to speak personally with almost all of the residents of the Dolphin. We are of doing that. We tried to also speak with the residents of the Lee apartments, but we were kicked off the property, asked to leave. I spoke with Julie, the daughter of the owner, personally, and she asked me to leave, and I respected your wishes. And to communicate with the attorney, correct. And we left, and we did exactly as you asked, because I told you we were going to need cooperation, and I didn't want to do something that was against your wishes. The other thing is that you provided us with lunches. You invited us to sit down in your homes. You gave us cups of coffee. You were very generous and very kind and very welcoming to me and Mecky, and we greatly appreciate that. You told us your problems. You told us your hopes and dreams. You told us the things that you wanted for your families, and you gave us ideas of how we and the city together could help you realize those dreams. We took them very, very seriously, and we will continue to do so. The people that we have not spoken with yet, we would like to do so. A cada persona del Lee or del Dolphin puede hablar con nosotros and completely private. You will never, ever hear us describing the situation that we heard in number 21 with the residents in number 22. You have our toll-free number. It's an 877 number. I know it's strange, but it is toll-free. You have it on these notices. Use it. Call us. You're all free here living in this country, whether you live in the Dolphin or whether you live in the Lee. You have the right to talk to us. Ustedes tienen el derecho de informarse. You have the right to inform yourselves. Ustedes tienen el derecho de esta información. Si quieren información, llámenos. If you want information, call us. You have the rights to this information.
Okay, I want to end this meeting, so if you have a brief comment.
Okay. Okay. Una cosa es, todos, no sé del Dolphin, pero de Lee.
Let me translate. Now, I have to say, now what you're doing is trying to turn the people against us.
No.
By saying that if you want to talk to people, talk only to people that will defend you. You said that we have the ability to use words that you won't understand.
Is this a translation?
Yes,
please
it is.
Quiet.
Yes, it is. You said that you would...
Quiet, please.
You would... Then you said that we could use words that you wouldn't understand. Did you not say that?
That's possible.
Okay.
That's possible.
Claro, ustedes pueden usar palabras que no entiendo yo tampoco. Yo no soy perfectamente de habla hispana.
Okay.
Anyway, that's your you've delivered your warning.
Why are you so rude and sarcastic about it?
Because it's a warning.
I'm rude to the Seaside Company.
You know,
I'm rude
you know
to
they
you.
Were right about
I'm
you.
I'm a tenant, but I'm a tenant. See, la cosa es, yo soy residente. Yo tengo tres niños. Este niño aquí es mi hijo. Yo tengo que preocupar. Este es mi futuro. También, igual que todos. Como él está diciendo, tú eres mi nieta.
How Phil to deliver his warning.
Es bien grosero.
Vivo aquí unos 20 años con ustedes. Yo sé que es una situación bien complicada.
I understand this is a very complicated situation.
Let me just talk.
Okay.
Muy posible tienen ustedes problemas con tu casa, con tus dueños, yo entiendo. Es un mundo complicado.
Complicated world.
Pero cuídese, porque yo oigo nada más que palabras aquí. Ustedes, como yo, quieren seguridad. Seguridad es un papel contrato seguro antes todo.
Okay.
¿Usted paga renta, perdón?
That's okay.
He asked if you pay rent.
It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Let's. He delivered his message.
That no one should be in this room that doesn't live here. And I just want to make the point that everyone in this room that's trying to sell this doesn't live here. So the few people that are here that only want to say, make sure you get it in writing, make sure no one's against you having new houses, but no, I want to finish. You keep doing that if you don't like what we're seeing. The second thing, it's true, I've watched you. The second point that I want to say is, I don't know her name, but I heard what she said about the city offering a lump sum so that they don't have to pay relocation money, having her evict before the property is eminent domain. This happened across the street on Uden to three people. They got no relocation money. Before the property was condemned, they were evicted. All three of them are still homeless. We're not here because we don't want you to have new houses. We do. But we want to make sure you get them fair and square. We want to make sure that you're not living in a dumpster next year.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I don't remember this what she started out saying, so I can't translate. That is my purpose. That's my purpose.
Allow Phil to translate.
Más o menos hablo muy malo español, lo siento, pero ella dice que yo no van a hacer ningún dólar de ustedes, de ellos, no tengo nada de feria en esta cosa. Yo vivo, yo conozco unos de ustedes por unos años, ya lo sé muy bien que ustedes trabajan muy duro, viven con sin problemas con
policías,
no venden drogas, no usan drogas, no toman mucho.
No, she didn't say anything.
I entiendo, it's a loose translation.
Are we about?
Digo, solamente que estamos aquí porque queremos que ustedes van a tener un futuro seguro.
We're here because we want you to have a secure future.
Para ustedes.
For you.
Y nada más que cuídate más despacio porque hay unos perros muy cerca.
Okay. Gracias a todo.
Yo tengo una pregunta para. Para el señor.
Él no hizo ninguna pregunta.
See, I have one question. Perhaps you can translate it for me. Here's my question. If this group of tenants decides they do not want your deal, will you guarantee the city council does not force it on them? Will you guarantee it?
La pregunta es, si ustedes residentes, después de hacer sus investigaciones y hacemos todo con el comité, ustedes deciden que no quieren este proyecto, ¿va la ciudad a esforzarlo en ustedes?
Are you going to force it on them?
Yeah, when we have the opportunity to talk to people, I think we'll hear from them what they genuinely...
Well, contesto.
when we have the opportunity to talk with people. Is irrelevant. Let me answer the question. Can I answer the question?
We asked you to answer the question, yes or no.
Yeah.
Or answer whatever you want.
We're going to describe this project to the people that live in these areas. We're going to tell them what the benefits of this project are. I know. And if we get the sincere response, the sincere and genuine response without the management shaping the response, that people actually want to live in the Lee Apartments, then I promise, hands off the Lee Apartments.
La respuesta, lo que él dijo, es que después de... Right.
But let's talk again individually.
Pero hablamos otra vez individualmente.
Sign up for the committee if you want to.
Inscríbanse, por favor, por el comité para que tengan la voz oficial.
Get Martin's business card and call him.
Recoja una tarjeta de Martín y llámalo si tienen comentarios.
Write letters. And we'll see you in 2 weeks, hopefully.
Y en unas cuantas semanas nos juntamos.
Listen to your landlady.
Thank you, Tim.
Gracias, Toto.
We're still not giving permission for them to come on our property. We do not give permission for anyone to come on our property without talking to our attorney unless someone here actually calls you and invites you. Don't go door to door without a search warrant.
Oh, don't even say that. We're not police. We can't do that.
Don't go door to door without something from a judge.
All right, whatever.
¿Por qué la mami de los otros apartamentos no se ha presentado?
Yo no sé por qué fue invitada.
En inglés.
He said, why did the manager from Dolphin? Why did the Dolphin manager not come? And I said, I don't know, because she was absolutely invited.
Porque son las personas que han reclamado que le aumentan el dinero.
Because they're the people who raise the rent.
Que ella tenía que dar una opinión de su gente, de sus apartamentos, como el manager de nosotros.
Because she should be able to give an opinion for her people, pero yo tengo estoy un poquito responses that I think everyone can speak for themselves, and we don't need a manager to do that. Ella no vive tampoco en el proyecto. She doesn't live on site. Ella no califica para nada. Ella no califica por beneficios.
She lives on site for 25 years.
Su familia no vive allí. A ella no le sufre beneficios. She does not live on site. And so, she does not... Exacto, yo no vivo aquí tampoco.
I have a question.
Yes.
The question I have is, you might want to tell them.
Oh, you mean the other council members.
The other council members can pass this project, even if these two...
The only ones that are appearing are the ones that appear to be flexible.
Right, these are the only people committing themselves.
I can't speak to that because I don't know. I'm not involved in the city council meeting.
I can say it in Spanish.
Say it in Spanish. That's what I want people to hear.
Well, they're not listening. Él dijo que... You know, you keep asking for the contract, and we said we'll give you one.
Paper before. Of course not. You're a hustler.
That's me. I'm a hustler, yeah.
Yes. Well, the other question I had was, does this committee have any power? And I'm concerned that it doesn't. I'm wondering what you think.
Well, I don't know, because what we heard from the mayor and the vice mayor was that this committee does have power, and that if the committee decides that there's not going to be a project, then they will not support a project.
But they're only 2 out of 5, 7 votes.
That's correct. They are only 2 out of 5, but they are the mayor and the vice mayor, and I think if nothing else, let's look at the glass half full, not half empty. You've got 2 very important city officials that are here that have devoted 3 hours of their Saturday evening to discuss this project.
I believe they are sincere. That's not the question.
Okay.
The question is whether they're giving false assurances to people that if the tenants come to them.
You have to remember, he very clearly stated time and again, in my opinion.
Right.
He did that time and again.
Right, but he didn't clarify the project. He seemed to indicate to people the project would stop. He did not clarify for them the real political situation, which is that it won't stop. That Mayor Byers, who's the former mayor, has the power in the situation, and that she controls the four votes. So that if these people want this project on hold, they have to act now to put it on hold.
Well, you know what?
That's all I'm saying.
And I understand that. And I can't make any comment on that because I am not intimately informed of the city council and the political situation.
I've been around here for years.
I am a relocation specialist. Mm-hmm. I know the state relocation laws. I am an expert in relocation, and I am an expert in relocation. And I can tell you that this city, because of the public funds that are being used, is obligated under state law to follow state relocation guidelines. We were hired to make sure of two things. One was is absolutely to make sure that the people get all the benefits they're entitled to. The other is, basically, you can look at it as a CYA for the city. They've hired expert relocation consultants to make sure that they comply with all of the laws of the state of California.
Or another way of putting it is they hired these relocation experts to cover their asses. Of course, the relocation expert is putting the best possible spin on it. And he did talk to me, I guess, a couple of days ago. He was late in sending me a document which he claimed would show that there is no cap on relocation money for rental for renting a house. That if you take cash money, there is a cap, which is like $5,400. But if you simply take rental assistance, it can go much higher under so-called last resort housing money.
On the phone with me now is activist Phil Baer, who was also providing a little bit of stumbling translation at that meeting. Hello, Phil.
Hello there, Robert.
And I still haven't gotten the document from Baietti, but he did say he was sending 70 pages, and of course I did get a page or two from the city's redevelopment agency director, Seal Cirillo, and I guess you and I haven't yet rendezvoused to look over the details of those documents, but you're pretty clear that there is a cap not just on the amount of money that the city can pay a person to relocate, but also on the amount of money they can pay a landlord to that person's temporary housing while they're waiting for the project to be built?
Yes. The city can pay, but is not required to pay, no more than, but not necessarily any less than, you know, it's a maximum, it's not a minimum as I read it, a maximum of $5,250. So the city can pay the difference between their present rent and the rent on a relocation apartment for up to 42 months, or a maximum payment of $5,250, whichever comes first. The $5,250 would come for long before the 42 months. That is to say, the difference between the affordable rents that they're paying now and the average rent of a replacement house for these people would be such that $5,250 maximum subsidy would be consumed in more like maybe 6 to 8 months rather than 42 months, after which they would be shit out of luck.
Now, you, Phil, you were at the city council, and I'm about to play the redevelopment agency session. You urged, and actually you said to the city council, I'm begging you, please don't proceed with this tenant relocation committee, because I guess...
Plead, not beg.
Oh.
That's subservient enough.
Ah, yes. Well, I don't know what word you use, but you certainly seem to be asking them, to imploring them, let us say that. And, of course, one might say, well, this is a powerless committee anyway. What difference does it make? But I guess the answer might be that you saw this as just another nail in the coffin indicating this project was going forward without any kind of...
Yes, it's a legal issue. The identification of the specific project that would result in the displacement of substantial numbers of low or moderate income people is, as you say, the final nail in the coffin, or as the lawyers say, the final act in the accrual of the cause of action, the final thing that they do that, together with things that they've done prior to that, constitute a violation of a couple of particular redevelopment laws.
The next day, the Sentinel had a story on page 2 with your photo, I might add.
Yes, which, I'm so young.
Which, yes, of course, which mentioned that you are now, I guess you haven't really filed a lawsuit, but you filed a claim against the city?
Yes, it's preparatory to a lawsuit. If the the city rejects the claim, which I assume they will, we then file the lawsuit.
Now, do we know anything? I keep asking this question of other people, and I'm not getting a clear answer, although I did hear that the funding, I guess spring funding is what the Elizabeth Vogel Affordable House, her Mercy Charities and the city's redevelopment agency project were all trying to get. Spring was the focal date for the next fundraising or fund allocation, but what's the next point at which there will be key action on this project in terms of what's required by funding schedules? Do you know?
No, I don't know.
That's really, I guess, the point we should find out.
I suppose. I know of nothing that would prevent them right now from altering their plans adopting another means or proposal for spending the money that would prevent them from getting the money. They're using that as sort of a scare tactic. You know, if they don't do this right now, then they lose all that money and pity the poor, low-income people. I have no reason to believe that there's any validity to that whatsoever.
Now, you had a particular point you wanted to make, and you just called, and I've kind of...
Oh, well, it was just in relationship to Tim Fitzmaurice's constant justification for proceeding so hastily and with such inadequate public process, being that there is the danger of the private sector somehow evicting these people or selling to a speculator, and if that happens, then the residents would be far more hurt than they would be if the city bought the property and went through the relocation process themselves.
And the reason for that, of course, is that the city would have to pay the tenants some relocation money, whereas a speculator could just evict them and say, get out.
Right. Precisely what the Seaside Company did with what you refer to as the Pink Palace. In fact, it's called the Rex Court Apartments, also part of the proposed project. 15 apartment units that would be demolished under this plan, recently purchased and vacated by the Seaside Company. Each of those 15 apartments easily rentable for, say, $600 a month. That's $9,000 a month rental income that Seaside Company chose to pass up, suggesting to me that there's already been a deal where between the city, or the redevelopment agency more than likely, and the Seaside Company to buy that property from the Seaside Company, the city preferring to buy it unoccupied, so that they can save relocation money and avoid the unpleasantness of city-forced relocation or displacement of residents. So, and basically, they have raised their offering price to Seaside Company contingent upon Seaside Company's doing the dirty work before for them prior to the sale.
Of course, you are a speculator.
It's collusion.
You're speculating, right? You
well, why else would a property owner pass up $9,000 a month?
Maybe he got religion.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. I know in 1997 and 98, as BSAL, the Beach South of Laurel 3rd Street Realignment Commercial Development Plan of the Beach Boardwalk was moving forward, there were some properties that got suddenly vacated by the Seaside Company. Were there not evictions around that time as well?
Yes, there were evictions, no relocation paid. Seaside Company has been doing that for years. Approximately one-third of the historical unit, that is to say the number of units that used to be in this neighborhood, by which I mean as recently as 20 years ago, approximately in the last 20 years, the neighborhood has lost approximately one-third of its housing through exactly that process of Seaside Company buying places, vacating with no relocation expenses paid at all, letting it sit a couple of years so as to avoid a couple of replacement housing requirements, and then tearing the housing down. All those people, you know, out of town, out of luck, on the road, in their vans, wherever they go.
How many units of housing would you say have been destroyed in this way?
Well, I know of 50 to 60 that we've witnessed go down.
Was anything done, like particularly in the spring and summer of 98, that, what I'm asking, I guess, was anything done in the spring and the summer of 98 around this? Was there any destruction of housing by Seaside, or I should say evictions?
yes, there were evictions. There was a plan there, again, a Mercy Charities plan, to build an 18 to 20 unit apartment complex over along 3rd Street that would have been the so-called replacement housing for some 18 to 20 units of housing that would have had to have been demolished in order to enable the 3rd Street realignment and the expansion of the boardwalk. So, by the way, this apartment complex that they're talking about building, the Dolphin Lee, the back side of it, or the eastern side of it, lies exactly along the right-of-way for that former proposed 3rd Street realignment. And then there's this cute little interrelationship with the Rex Court providing some of the land. Quite obvious to me that Seaside Company is very much involved in this whole project and would be a major beneficiary. And if it goes through, practically the day after it goes through, the next plan will be a resurrection of the 3rd Street realignment and the expansion of the amusement park.
Well, yeah, that's of course because the Rex Court is right across the street from the Dolphin Lee, and establishing a building between the two would involve blocking the street and, in essence, setting the stage for the 3rd Street realignment.
Exactly. It lops off the eastern end of LeBrant Street, and then 3rd Street, the lower end of 3rd Street and the lower end of Beach Street, get lopped off, and a new street that they call an extension of 3rd Street, in fact it runs almost perpendicular to 3rd Street, would come across there, basically truncating that triangle of land on the eastern end of the Beach Flats, which 20 years ago was fully occupied and fully housed, and it has since been gobbled up by the Seaside Company. Now they want to put a street across there and just hand it to them officially.
You know, I was going to get...
This is the same Tim Fitzmaurice who's so ready to fight Seaside Company, as he expresses it. He hasn't done much fighting with them thus far. He's capitulated like a, you know, fill in the adjective,
a
sheep, yes.
I don't know, you know, I know that he hasn't, I guess when you were a board member on CAB, I guess you still are, that CAB take a position urging City Council to investigate Seaside destruction of affordable housing.
Yeah, no, you don't do that. The justification for this plan is, you know, when people say, well, why don't you build it on some of that Seaside-owned land, which in just the last few years had houses on it that were occupied, and it still is residentially zoned. The answer from Fitzmaurice and others is, oh, well, they'd make a big fight. They play too mean, and they have too many expensive lawyers. The inference being that you pick on the small-time property owners and you let the major offender get away with it again and again and again.
As I said, I was hoping to get a call from activist Fred Geiger, who's been rather concerned. I guess initially he felt that the project was lost because it was a done deal, but I think recently he's becoming more hopeful. He went to this, I guess, bi-weekly or weekly or monthly meeting with the new council members. Are not that new anymore. It looks like the same old story, Fitzmaurice, Crone, and Sugar. And he said that they finally seem to be listening to those, particularly people like Gordon Pusser, who are very outraged at this project. There's a kind of a couple of additional angles have come in, like the apparent corporation to Mercy Housing is a group called Catholic Charities West.
Catholic Healthcare West.
Catholic Healthcare West, thank you. And Catholic Healthcare West apparently is... has an extremely conservative orientation. Of course, the Catholic Church is involved in this, and most times that involves conservative stuff.
Yes.
But we're talking about taking over hospitals and eliminating their Planned Parenthood.
Yes.
Family planning. And
over 30 in just the last few years, California hospitals purchased by Catholic Healthcare West, the parent organization for Mercy Housing Charities, the city's designated developer of affordable housing and proposed developer of the Dolphin Lee. Catholic Healthcare West has purchased more than 30 hospitals in just the last few years, and immediately upon purchase, closed down all family planning services.
Fred Geiger also apparently had information about union busting activities.
Yes.
In Orange County. Did you know
yes.
about that?
Yes. Well, you know, the Catholic Church feels that unionism is somehow incompatible with their lofty plans, they, I think, are rather well known to not be particularly...
But you don't have any specifics on the Orange County situation.
I do someplace,
okay.
Not immediately on hand, but this is labor disputes within hospitals purchased by Catholic Healthcare West, where Catholic Healthcare West was attempting to dispose of the union.
The question really has arisen in the minds of some, why was Mercy Housing, you know, designated rather than, say, Mid-Peninsula, Habitat for Humanity? Geiger's idea is, why not build a project, as you've suggested, on parking lots nearby, and then turn over Dolphin Lee to Habitat for Humanity to rehab? Because one of the concerns about Mercy Housing is they keep the property. It reverts, as I understand it, to the Catholic Church within, what, 15 or 20 years of some sort of...
They get it right off the top. It's theirs. We have already purchased at least $50 million worth of real estate in the form of Sycamore, Neary's Lagoon, and La Playa, all paid for by taxpayers' money, all handed lock, stock, and barrel to this organized religion. It's a public subsidy of organized religion.
And there's been some question about whether the religious affiliations of people on the council, namely, I guess, Tim Fitzmaurice and Catherine Byers, I'm told, are Catholic. There's a suggestion Michael Hernandez may be Catholic. I don't know about Keith Sugar. I'm not saying that they're taking orders from the Pope, but, you know, there is a... You know, I don't know if this is a question or not. I guess they should be asked the question whether their, you know, religious affiliation is in any way affecting them.
Right.
I don't know what they...
There are a couple of issues there, like separation of church and state, that are not having so much to do with the specific denomination here, the fact that it is Catholic, so much as an objection to any overly intimate financial interrelationship between a public entity such as the City of Santa Cruz and any organized religion. And then there are more specific issues having to do with the Catholic Church and its prohibition against family planning, birth control, et cetera, in this pronouncedly pro-choice city as being rather anachronistic and in the minds of many, I think, just flagrantly unacceptable.
Well, there is the argument that was presented to me a couple of days ago by some people, I think, concerned about the rights of residents and tenants, that a lot of people just want to be able to move on to better housing, and some of the tenants told me this, that they're only living in the Dolphin Lee because they got nowhere else to go.
Well, that's typical of a lot of low-income people.
Right.
The question is, do they have somewhere else to go as a result of the proposed Dolphin Lee plan, or are they just being told that they have someplace else to go, and after they've gotten themselves out of the Dolphin Lee, will suddenly face the grim reality that they've been misled and they have absolutely no place else to go?
Right.
I think they'd prefer the Dolphin Lee to no place.
Well, that's the question. Let's suppose the tenant said, boy, they're offering us $5,200 to leave the Dolphin Lee. Fine, give us $5,200. We're never going to get anything except continuing to... That's $5,200 more than we'll be getting if we just stay on paying rents for crowded, you know, Warren-like habitations, in their view. And why not, this is where the argument goes, why not take what we can out of this and then do what we can, even though you're quite right. It looks like, at least, I mean, I have serious questions about whether the relocation money exists to even put people up while this project is being built, much less send them back into the housing, because there's so many restrictions that Mercy Housing has said, namely criminal convictions for drugs or violence, past unlawful detainers. These are apparently going to be a bar to reentry. But
well, another point I'd like to raise in that regard, this insistence that you're getting from Elizabeth Vogel that immigration status is not a barrier. Mercy Housing right now is one of 14 plaintiffs in a lawsuit being heard next month in San Francisco, the defendant being Housing and Community Development, the state-run organization. The purpose of the lawsuit is to have removed the restriction against the use of state money to house undocumented persons. I don't know how that case is going to go, But the point there is that at the present time, there is that restriction, both regarding the state money and the federal money, which is the bulk of the money. So for them to act as if that issue had already been settled is most untrue. The law right now forbids any state money or federal money to be used to provide housing assistance for undocumented aliens.
Okay,
that's the reality right now.
Google's claim is that CDBG and home funding is not subject to those bars.
I don't know why that wouldn't be. Where does CDBG money come from?
And again,
the state.
You're talking to an ignorant individual. I do not have the law before me. I'm simply making her, commenting on her bald assertion. She made it very specifically and repeatedly. So if she is not telling the truth or if she is in error, we certainly want to bring that up. And if you can bring any documentation one way or the other, I'd like to see that as well.
Well, I would assume that somebody proposing to throw 300 or 400 people out of their homes would feel some obligation to assume some burden of proof themselves.
Dig it. I agree. The other question I was asking you before, which we kind of skipped past, is there are some folks who are saying, and I think these are people who are sympathetic to the tenants, and they're generally sympathetic to tenants versus landlords. We're talking about Western service worker type
yes.
people. Yes. That this $5,400 that everybody's going to get as a minimum or as a cap, or as a, let's put it to say it's not necessarily as a minimum, but some, they're going
to. It's not a minimum, it's a maximum.
Right.
You must be clear on that
I'm
point.
Sorry.
There, as
no,
I read it,
right.
there is no minimum.
No, you're quite right. This is as a maximum.
Yes.
That they will get. As a buyout, is at least they can run away with that sum of money, or perhaps a lesser sum of money, which is better than continuing to pay for the housing they have. Let me put it this way. Let's suppose they want to make the choice. I want the money. I want to then try and use that money to go get, you know, housing or make a start somewhere else. Should we force them to say, no, we're not going to have the price? In other words, should it be their choice or should it be our choice? Whose choice should it be?
Well, their choice, of course. I'm not sure that this impression that you have of this massive discontent with that housing is really reality-based rather than manipulated by certain people with vested interests in the process, like the developer themselves has done a whole lot of manipulation of the facts regarding the condition of the housing and the opinions of the tenants, and other people who are just sort of ideologically of the opinion that all low-income tenants are exploited and all rental property owners are ogres. I think those opinions that you're buying into are coming from those sources rather than the tenants themselves. If I really saw a process where tenants were saying these things in some sort of clear way rather than being quoted by some third party with the tenants themselves either not there or standing there with a somewhat bemused look on their face as they hear themselves spoken for, you know, the whole process here of speaking for these people is very prone to manipulation and abuse.
I hear you. Well, look, I expect you to have a general meeting of the tenants and find out the general will, and then you can get back to me on that, Phil.
Okay. You hold your breath.
Plus, I would suggest a bonfire at City Hall.
Okay.
All right.
I'll bring the matches.
I'll bring the pizzas. I'm sorry, the tacos.
Yes. Excellent, Robert.
Talk to you then.
Yes.
Okay, here's a commercial I wrote for some paid television people for a little money. Talking pay TV. I guess they're going to play it over in Denver and Milwaukee. Blue Denver.
Walking down the Denver town, watched the western sun go down. Thought that I would stop a while, switch around my TV dial. Got some free TV. Only price was a little boredom. Well, I'm not sure about my taste, but it seemed that TV land was a waste. I saw 30 westerns, 30 private eyes, 30 doctors operated before my eyes. None of the operations was successful, though. It's hard to operate with so much violence around. Well, every few minutes they'd take a break for a profound message on a stomach ache. They sold cures for dandruff, milk from the farm, perfume for my underarms. I've had enough. I'm sticking to greasy kid style. Well, the blood and gore was upon my floor, and I couldn't hardly stand no more. So I walked outside to get some air. A theater owner was standing there, carrying a picket sign. Said pay TV was un-American. He said, I'm against that pay TV. I'd much rather have people pay me. $1 for parking, $2 for the show, $3 for the babysitter, there you go. Get to see a widescreen spectacular. Hercules meets Godzilla. Audience meets nausea. Well, pay TV is fine to see. You get much better quality. Broadway shows, heavyweight fights, first-run movies every night. Viewers of Denver, unite. You have nothing to lose but commercials. Well, people are afraid of something new. They laughed at planes before they flew. You know, you only get just what you buy, so give that pay TV a try. Remember, families that pay together, stay together.
And you don't even have to pay to listen to Free Radio Santa Cruz. That's 96.3, what you're listening to right now. However, if you want to send in a check or some money or offer some old equipment, we need to replace our equipment continually, or just ask how you can support us, give a call, because we need that kind of help. We do this 24 hours a day. We don't get paid anything to do it. And you get programming here that you wouldn't get anywhere else on your dial, as you know. And you even have the option to speak up yourself on the air. And I hope that folks do. Call-in number here for Free Radio is 427-3772. If you have any comments, now is the time to call in. We're talking about the Dolphin Lee affordable housing hoax, as I call it. And it looks like somebody is calling in.
Hi there, you're on the air.
All hail the progressive slate.
Ah, how are you doing, Bob?
Robert, I'm doing pretty good. I wanted to throw something into the mix here. Now, I don't know whether this is correct or not, but what is your information about how philanthropist Jack Baskin got his money?
You know, I know nothing about Jack Baskin.
Now, this is what I hear, and I'm not saying I'm correct on this, but he got it by building affordable housing units in L.A.
Really?
So there's money in affordable housing units. There's tons of money. Okay, and if you can establish yourself and get in on the grant sources... and get in on the municipal contacts, there's a fortune in it.
Interesting.
So I can't back that up, but I'm just putting it out. How did and more power to the guy. I know he's a nice guy, et cetera, philanthropist. But I have heard, and from a reasonably reliable source, and I'll retract this if I'm wrong, but Jack Baskin got his money by building affordable housing units in L.A. But my comments on the Dolphin Lee project is that ultimately it gets down to an eminent domain move by the city council. And everything else is hyperbole. And they can say whatever they want. Ultimately, if they want to eminent domain the property, they can't.